You are listening to Jackson Scanberg's Smooth Sailing. Tonight's broadcast was recorded on February 20th, 2021.
Sailing on WJB Radio 101.1 FM. I am broadcasting today from my room, and I am here again with John Bilkey for the second time. Hello, Mr. Bilkey. Or he might be muted and away for a minute. So,
okay, my mic. And not my mic, my mouse stopped working, but now it works. How does it sound?
Very good.
Excellent.
What do you use? Is it a brown
mic?
What type?
It's a lapel mic on a stand.
And mouse.
What type of mouse? I use a Logitech G603, but it's on a USB hub that is starting to show its age. So I wouldn't say it's the mouse's fault. It's the USB hub.
What do you mean starting to show its age?
Well, you haven't learned about reactive power, but I'm sure you've worked with complex numbers in your EE courses.
Yes.
That would be the electromagnetic power. The magnetic portion of electromagnetic power. So anything with a coil in it, such as a transformer, a speaker, a motor, those things cause reactive power to be flowing through wires. And anytime this USB hub experiences reactive power coming from these devices, it stops responding entirely and has to be unplugged and plugged back in.
I see.
Yes.
What color is your mouse?
It is black and gray.
Ah, the staple Logitech colors.
Indeed.
Bland.
Quite. But it works well, so I can't complain.
What color? Do you think black and gray and white are bland colors, or do you think they're just safe and marketable?
Well, I think yeah, well, they're safe, sure, but, I personally have an attachment to beige, although most electronics are not made in beige anymore. Back then, that was a safe color. Now it's ridiculous. So who knows what color mice will be 10 years from now, but black is a pretty neutral color, so I imagine, it would fit well on most people's desks, and people wouldn't complain about a black mouse. So, yeah.
Why do you have a fondness towards beige? It's a color some people seem to think is not necessarily bad, but nobody ever seems to have a high opinion of beige when I talk about it.
I don't know. These days a lot of beige products have started to yellow, so they look a little more nasty than when they were new. You know, it's, you know, kind of dated in style now, a lot of things. Used to be beige. So, you know, like, when you look at a house to buy, you might look for stainless steel appliances instead of white or beige ones. That's a selling point now. So there's definitely a market perception that just beige things, and in general, it can be a polarizing color on most things.
John Bilkey, when is your birthday?
My date of birth is June 1st.
June 1st?
Yes.
That's only several months away.
Only several months, yep.
Well, happy birthday, John Bilkey.
Oh, thank you. Happy birthday to you, too.
John Bilkey, how do you feel about your influence on this talk show?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, your initial podcast spawned a perception of this show as being slightly extraterrestrial and supernatural in nature.
Well, I am interested in the topic myself, but I think that the variety in what the people we interview have to say is what really makes the show. If it was only about extraterrestrials and fringe science, I don't think people would have much interest of listening to the same thing week after week. But thanks to our amazing host and our wonderful interviewees, the show definitely has established itself as a jack of all trades of sorts. So, yeah, I mean, I could see how people would think, you know, from the first episode that it might be exclusive to these things. But I think really it just shows that we're open to talking about all sorts of topics that our interviewees like. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we only talk about those things.
Mr. Bilkey, you've listened to almost every single recording of this show, right?
Yeah, multiple times because I edit them as well.
What's your favorite episode?
Well, let me... I have to say, I might be biased to the first one because I was there. But I liked the one with Liz. That was fun. The one with Ben was definitely insightful, you know, a bit more of a serious episode. And of course, Chet and Mitch did a great job. Jackson, very entertaining. But I would say my personal favorites would be the ones with Liz and Ben so far.
Interesting. We've gone downhill in quality, folks.
Not necessarily. It's just... Also, I haven't, you know, I was kind of busier during the other episodes, so yeah. I didn't get to join in.
We are in what some people would like to call crunch hours at the Milwaukee School of Engineering.
Finals week is upon us.
The fact that we're even doing this is probably very hurtful to both of us.
Yes.
By the way, if you need to do an abbreviated podcast and only go for like an hour,
well,
I'm fine with that.
I can match your timetable to whatever you want to do.
Cool. So, speaking of the Milwaukee School of Engineering, we seem to focus on it a lot,
yeah,
wouldn't you say?
I would agree with that.
Well, I think we should take the next segment of this show to talk about some of our favorite places around the Milwaukee School of Engineering, specifically in the food venue locations. John, what is your favorite food venue?
In the area?
In the area.
Oh, there's a lot of good options for food in the area. I like, you know, it really depends on what mood I'm in and what the time of the day is. When it's late at night, you just want some munchies food. Get some hearty real chili. That's always a good spot. Lately I've been going to Cops a lot with Mr. John Shields III for some custard and burgers, although that's not exactly on campus.
What's the difference between custard and ice cream?
I believe it's it's definitely a thicker, richer product. It has more fat, presumably, and I believe they add egg to it or some sort of egg ingredient. So it is classified as frozen custard.
I've never had Cops with Mr. Shields, but I have gone with Mr. Shields, or I forced him to drive me in the ship to Insomnia to satisfy what he likes to call my quote-unquote cookie fetish.
Okay.
I've gone to Insomnia Cookies too many times, Mr. Bilkey.
And you also had an Insomnia Cookies cookie cake for your birthday, I believe.
Yes, I shared that with everyone. It was very nice.
Excellent. Welcome to the show, Skeeter.
Mr. Bilkey, have you ever gone to Zanya's?
I don't think I have. Is that a French or an Italian place, like Lasagna's, or is the person named Zanya?
Zanya's Pizza is this, like, fringe, like, pizza, chicken, like, fast food sort of restaurant just north of here. And a public security officer that will not be named for privacy reasons calls there almost every week. And if you tell them that you know her, you can get a lot more food.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I got, I ordered a 6-piece chicken tender and I got 8.
Oh, wow.
That's
a solid deal.
Yeah, they're really good. And they're cheap. Like, really cheap.
Oh. So, pizza and fast food type stuff, like chicken tenders?
Yes, but they also have ribs, from what I saw. And, a bit more fast food style ribs, of course.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, the best ribs I've found have been from Italian restaurants.
Really?
If you look at the best ribs in the area around me, those would be, there's Lino's restaurant in Libertyville. There's, I think it was Philly G's or one of those really Italian restaurants are my family friend was like, you wouldn't believe it, but this upscale Italian restaurant has some crazy good ribs.
We are not going to address that question, viewer. Anyway, did you kick him?
No, I didn't kick him, but I deleted that.
Fair enough.
And then he left the call.
I know that person, by the way.
Oh. This is not quite the Alex Jones show, although I'm not afraid to get out there, but that's a bit too far out there.
Very too far out there.
Just a little bit.
We'll do that. We'll answer any question on our 100th episode if we made it there. I'll do any question.
Wow, absolutely anything.
Don't hold me on that. We probably won't make it there anyways.
Oh yeah. Well,
I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. 'Cause it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, going back to rib places, Italian places, really?
Yeah.
Why do you think they would have the best ribs?
I couldn't tell you.
And honestly, I remember getting ribs from an Italian place as well, and them being quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm more of a smoked rib. I like the smoky taste. Do you like the smoky taste?
So are you talking dry rubbed ribs? Like that type?
Dry rubs are good. I will give you that. But no, I'm talking like smoked.
Okay. Well, I'm not a big fan of dry rub compared to having sauce on it. But I know, like, for like really smoky ribs, you go to some places and they just smoke them with this dry rub. And they're not very moist, but they have a lot of flavor. And I prefer a bit of a moist or fall off the bone soft rib.
I disagree. I am a hardcore flavor. Was that your illegal pizza oven? Toaster oven? What is it? It's a toaster oven, right?
Wait a minute.
Mr. Bilkey, are you all right?
I can hear you now. Yes. We had a bit of a disaster.
Come in.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that your illegal toaster oven?
No, I would never have such a thing. I just heard a ding and my life flashed before my eyes and everything fell apart. I don't know what that was. It could have been the aliens, to be honest, but I don't think they would be aggressive like that. So maybe it was the Russians.
Russians at MSOE? I should make a joke about that because there probably is like one or two Russian foreign exchange students here.
Yeah.
Not even foreign exchange, but foreign students here. So it would be like the I'm not going down that route.
Okay.
But do you know what's odd? I just realized this. Everyone that manages this station has started a fire in their dorm, except myself, up to this point.
Oh, well, I think we'll have to do it.
Yeah, one of these days.
It's a rite of passage.
What should I light on fire?
Well, that's up to you.
What were you doing? Did you have a Bunsen burner in your room? Like, how were you trying to ignite it? I forget. It was just like paper towel, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I have a 12-volt, 3-amp power supply, and a really thin piece of wire, and I just ran the electricity through the wire, and it glowed orange, tapped some paper to it, smoking, blow on it a bit, and you got yourself a fire. That's how the caveman would do it. I mean, you gotta be prepared for anything, so starting a fire is very important, and, I was prepared.
Instant fire, just add oxygen.
Pretty much.
How do you think the Nerf fight's going, Mr. Bilkey?
I don't know. I wish John Shields would have lent us one of those radios so we could listen in and see what was going on over there without any context.
I was thinking about going down there and war corresponding, as you know, but
yes.
I would have had to broadcast through my phone, and I doubt my phone could have lasted 2 hours of streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Its batteries, the battery life hasn't decreased to the point where it dies rapidly. Mm-hmm. It's still in usable condition, but it's getting down.
Is it at like 80% health now, or?
I know there's a way to check.
Yeah.
Here, I'll try and find out right now. It's
Okay. Because at one point, with certain models of the iPhones, you could actually get them replaced for the cost of a new battery from Apple. Of course, with BlackBerry, you know, I haven't had that issue with a 6-year-old battery on my old one. All day BlackBerry battery life.
How's BlackBerry doing as a company? I heard they were one of the quote unquote targets of the spike.
Yeah, they were a Wall Street Bets target. Their stock price went to a crazy level. But now it's stabilized largely to what it was before, I think. Maybe a little bit higher. Because admittedly, in December, before this whole thing, I think they were a little undervalued. Because people associate them with the phones that they don't really make anymore. And they've left the markets where they didn't make money. And now they focus exclusively on offering services to companies and charging subscriptions and making operating systems for cars, including self-driving cars. And their portfolio is pretty diverse, and it's all about security and software. That's what they do now. And so I think they should be valued a little higher than they are, but
they're doing just fine.
I'd like to see their price go up, but they are doing fine. There's no risk.
I bet most people do not know that.
Probably, yeah.
Going back to answer your question, I just checked. It's 83% maximum capacity to what it used to be. So it's not, I mean, it's, what is that, almost a fifth? 20% worse than when I initially got it. Not too bad.
Well, yeah, but that's still a fairly sizable amount, I would say.
Yes, when we're talking about hours, that might be an hour.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, I have one battery on a Apple product that lasts 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
If not plugged in.
Well, how old is it?
That one is probably over a decade old.
Yeah.
It's an iPod Touch that I only use because I have one authenticator stuck on it that I can't seem to switch off.
Okay.
Does two-factor authentication really work, Mr. Bilkey?
You know, personally, I haven't really felt the need for it. I just don't think that much security is necessary for me, because I use a random password generator and I have different passwords for every account. And if I, you know, if my password was leaked, I would just change it on the service that was leaked, because all the other ones are different. So I don't know about that. Even for celebrities, you know, you hear all the time people basically just tell customer service of their phone company that they are that person and they need a new SIM card and they get it. And the two-factor authentication.
Wait, go back.
Yeah, so I know this happened to Boogie2988 and some other celebrities. People were able to call their phone company and request a new SIM card that would be shipped to them instead of that person, and they got it. And they bypassed two-factor authentication by doing that. And so now you hear people doing two-factor authentication with apps and things because it's just not secure to do on your phone anymore, just like through text, because that's happened so many times.
Mr. Bilkey, really, what do you think about this interesting meme that we're having spammed in our chat right now? The one with the minion.
Which chat is that? The radio one?
Yes, the Radio General chat, where it is a minion hitting another minion on the head with the word bonk above it.
You know, honestly, minions are okay. I don't dislike minions.
I know that we have a friend that enjoys minions.
Yeah. These little green men. Not green. Yellow.
Yellow. I mean, they...
I love these little green... God, I said it again. You know what? Jackson, have you had any oranges lately?
Okay, tangent. I'm going to go off on the food service. He's hearing about this. Mitch already heard about this.
Okay.
You know the fruit bowl that they have?
Yeah.
The fruit bowl is gone. Okay?
I know they have stacks of fruit behind glass now.
And no one operates the station where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all, like, the bowl was already getting pushed, like, further and further behind the counter so people couldn't just grab out of the bowl.
Yeah.
But now you can't even, I couldn't even get fruit today because it was behind the glass.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say that makes sense if they didn't have you grab your own desserts.
Yes.
But,
oh my god. That one lady that just goes, if you can see it, just reach for it.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened, ADC? You were doing so well.
Yep.
I don't know.
And they said they had brought burgers today.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't even cooked until about 2 p.m. from what I've heard.
Wow.
And
did they serve them for dinner?
They might have still been serving them for dinner. I don't know.
I would hope.
Because they had chicken. Here's the other weird thing they did today. They had chicken fingers. But they cut them in half.
Why did they do that?
Mr. Hendricks said it was because they had mashed potato bowls, and usually they do popcorn chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they cut them up in place of popcorn chicken?
Mm. Maybe.
I guess that's a justifiable reason. It's just odd to me, though. Especially the thing that... The only thing, I should say, that makes me suspicious about how they're cutting the chicken is they also did it with the fried chicken they had last night.
Oh.
Did you go to the soul food dinner?
I did.
The fried chicken they had there was cut in half, so I'm wondering if they're trying to...
Well, I think did you have the breast? The breast was cut in half. But the thigh was intact.
Oh, I didn't know they had anything other than breasts.
Yeah, personally, I'm more of a thigh man myself, but I can see where you're coming from.
It was weird. I mean, the soul food dinner was good. Not as good as the other two specials.
But yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
The Super Bowl one was great.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl one was my favorite one they did. How about you?
The food was good, but they were serving, like, you know, pretzels and snack food, which was good, but as a meal, that's not really what I was looking for a whole dinner. I think if that was served as a snack in the game room for people watching the game, that would have been cool. But that was not a meal.
I understand. I had the bratburger that day. Really good.
Okay.
Probably the best thing that they served. Completely awful for you, but probably the best thing they served.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you like the Usinger-sponsored Usinger day?
I loved that day.
A.K.A. Taste of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. It was purely Usinger's Day.
It should have just been called Usinger's Event.
Although, we were promised Blue Moon ice cream, which I've made clear is my favorite flavor. It was made in not only in Wisconsin, but it was invented in Milwaukee. It's a fantastic flavor, and they put it up on their marketing material. And when I got there, they only had vanilla.
What a shame.
That was disappointing.
They get all of their dairy products from Kemp's, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw them serving yogurt today, and it was Kemp's branded yogurt. Ice cream was Kemp's. And I would have to ask Mitch about the milk.
Yeah. But I know Kemp's makes, obviously they make ice cream because the vanilla was made by Kemp's, but I would imagine they would have Blue Moon.
That's something we can find out right now.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, Kemp's makes Blue Moon ice cream.
Yeah. I thought they did. So, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. When I go to their official page for it, I can't seem to pull it up.
Oh.
That's interesting. But I imagine that Blue Moon ice cream wouldn't cost that much more than vanilla.
For no, the bulk quantity. Not. Yeah.
So it's very odd that they did not serve Blue Moon ice cream that meal.
Yeah. Indeed, indeed.
Speaking of things you like, Mr. Bilkey, I don't think we've ever mentioned your bingo events.
Oh, you're right.
On smooth sailing.
I'm glad that you mentioned that while Angel's here. Angel just joined the call. Angel, if you'd like to say anything about bingo, feel free to chip in here. But I have run multiple bingo events with the help of Angel and others in sub. And the next one,
yeah.
I have talked to Kristen about, and that should be on April Fool's.
It's true. I can attest to Bilkey's claims.
Yep.
Is the bingo on April Fool's actually going to be bingo, or is it going to be a completely different game?
My understanding is that it will be bingo, although I have been proposing trying other games that are bingo derivatives, but it sounds like it will be bingo.
You know what would be great? I just thought of this. You use a bingo random number generator that's 1 through 99, right? Or is it 1 through 8? Okay.
Well, we use a ball cage.
Do you remember the maximum?
Angel, do you know this? Do you know what the maximum number is for our bingo equipment?
The maximum number?
Yeah.
Rephrase the question.
So, of the balls, which range from 1 to a value, that's the maximum. Do you know what the highest number is of bingo balls?
75?
Oh, yeah.
75?
You're right. Yeah, we do use 75 ball bingo.
Okay. So instead of... This is going to sound very, very odd. But instead of doing columns of B and then numbers, do 75 columns with 5 letters.
Wow.
How feasible would that be?
How would the cards work? We would need a really wide card.
Yes, you would need a really wide card, which would be the joke. People would come in and get a very long spreadsheet card. And then you would need
bingo card.
Yes. And then you would need 2 spinners, one for a number and one for a letter, and it would probably just go on forever.
Yeah. How would you win, like 4 in a row or 5 in a row?
You would have to complete it either an entire row, which would be near impossible, or an entire column.
Mm-hmm.
Which is possible, but would take an extremely long time either way.
Okay. I don't know how feasible that would be given our time constraints.
Which is
2 hours?
Approximately 2 hours.
Wasn't there another game that you were going to do at a sub-event that wasn't bingo? It was odd.
Yeah. So I've been proposing a game called 20 Express, which I have modified since then into Roscoe's Rail Cars for MSOE. It's where you have a card with a picture of a train on it, and this train has 20 cars, and the host, which would be me, would call out a number, and the number could be repeated even, but you have to write down that number somewhere on your train, and you're trying to get as long of a run counting up from left to right on your train as possible. So if you write in a number, and the next one would break a line counting up, then you don't get as many points.
I remember when you tested this on Jasmine and Ben and a couple other people that they were getting incredibly frustrated. Why was that?
Well, I think they enjoyed it, but I hadn't really read through the rules in their entirety, so things were a little ambiguous at the time. And they also did not quite wrap their heads around the game. So there is a bit of a learning curve, but there's also an incredibly high amount of skill that the game requires. Even more than bingo, which I would say is a very high-level skilled game.
Do you think there are competitive bingo players somewhere?
I would imagine somewhere there are. Yes, I would hope so.
Must be a great sport to be a professional athlete in.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta be lucky.
I know there are professional Uno tournaments.
Well, Uno's a game of skill. Bingo's pure luck.
Not necessarily.
You don't do anything in bingo, though. As long as you're not...
You need to be fast. You need to pay close attention to the announcer. Mark your card. The more cards you have, if you're allowed to have multiple cards, the better your odds will be, but you need to have the ability to multitask and check through every card before the next number is called. So it is a fairly skilled game.
Well, that's true, but in a game such as bingo, you have to be paying attention at the same time as you're planning your next move and trying to optimize the minimum number of points you have.
Yes.
There are actions that you can take that aren't reactionary in games such as Uno, where bingo is a very reactionary game.
That's true. So, well, yeah. Challenging Unos would be reactionary as well. So there is an element of that, but I do see where you're coming from. It's not a strictly linear game.
Mr. Wilkie, what is your favorite game? Is it bingo?
Well, I like bingo because it's fun for a very large group of people and can be done easily online. In the current situation in which we live, running events for a school, is a lot easier when you can just read out numbers and people call it bingo. No, I'm not personally a fan of Candyland.
He's referring to me, but I am.
You are?
I like Candyland. Oh, the guest.
Oh.
He meant the guest. But.
Okay.
So, the viewer asked, I heard our guest is quite enthusiastic about Candyland. That's the comment.
That would be false. But please, explain your position on Candyland. I'm ready to rip you apart.
Candyland is a game where you look at the colors and feel good vibes. It's like Chutes and Ladders, but there's only one way to go forward.
Yeah.
No setbacks.
What's interesting about Candyland is
the colors.
No, it's not the... I guess that would make it interesting. Also the characters, but from a mechanic standpoint, the outcome of a Candyland game is completely predetermined in the deck. You're not rolling dice, there's no random chance other than how the deck is shuffled, because every player picks up a card and does that action. The entire game is there in that deck.
Sort of like bingo.
Well, that's true, but with bingo, every turn there's a random chance, and you experience this. It gives the effect of you're experiencing this along with the person running the game. Where in Candyland, everything is already determined from the beginning.
How about Chutes and Ladders, though? How do you feel about that game?
You know, it's an okay board game. The game of life, okay. I'd say Monopoly's a little more interesting because you can shuffle money around and destroy your family with excruciatingly long games. So I'm a fan of Monopoly, although all of these board games are not particularly interesting to me compared to card games, which I really like card games.
I like the complex game of Catan.
I tried playing that once, and it was very complex. And so, jumping into it, bit of a learning curve. I haven't done it since. So,
you need to
it's an interesting idea.
You need to run Monopolies. You need to be too big to fail.
Well, that's the way to go, always.
Speaking of,
what?
Sorry about that. We're going to backtrack a little bit here to Sub, which runs the bingo games.
Okay.
Does Sub have any upcoming events this week for, as they call it, decompression week?
I really think Angel would be the authority for this.
Yeah, we had the majority of our decompression week events already. I'm trying to think of any that we have not.
I know we had Bob Ross and Chill, but that was on Friday. As well as Study Break Treats on Wednesday, I believe. Were they both on Wednesday?
They were both on Wednesday.
Okay.
Mr. Bilkey, I heard that there was an event earlier last week, called Find a Friend.
Yes.
That event apparently got scaled back drastically in tone over the course of several days.
Yes.
Can you tell me the history of that event, if you don't mind?
Okay, well, one of our new freshman members, wonderful person, introduced the concept as a speed dating event. And the entire time, no one had an issue with it. RHA was going to be involved. So you could even have speed dated John Shields III, which would have been legendary. But then I think a project from a class got involved, and RHA was pushed out of the event. And then they used it to like collect data for their project or something. I don't know how that worked.
Really?
But possibly.
Were freshmen doing this?
I don't know who they were, really. I just know that they contacted the event organizer, and they integrated it with their project for a class.
Wait, so you're a member of Sub, and you really don't know what happened to the event, even?
Well, a lot of the planning of the events happens with people organizing it. You know, they don't talk about every detail of planning the event to the whole org. Like, you know, when I run bingo, I'll ask for volunteers and I'll say I'm running bingo this day, but I don't need to tell them, well, there isn't really much to say, you know, well, we'll be hosting bingo. where, you know, it's not much of a logistical thing. But I don't go into the logistics of it in our meetings.
If I may, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but I was actually the e-board organizer for that specific event.
Yeah, you're a great person to have on here. Please, give us the insight.
So, yes, we did in fact work with a group of students who used the project to for academic purposes. So, I believe that's when RHA was dropped from involvement. And then we advertised the event out, and we were originally going to advertise it as speed dating, but then we wanted a more platonic tone in case we had a lower number of participants. So we wanted to be able to pair up anyone with anyone else, not have to deal with, oh, who can date who or whatever, that kind of thing. So, we changed the tone of the event to just finding a friend for that purpose. And we also put up groups together. I don't know when that decision was made, but eventually it wasn't like a one-to-one thing. We changed it to that instead.
Okay, that all makes sense. Thank you so much, Angel.
Yeah, of course.
Mr. Bilkey.
Yeah.
Well, what was that sound?
Oh, what?
What was that sound that I just heard?
What did it sound like?
A large semi-metallic banging sound.
Oh, that was my refrigerator. I'm currently eating a wonderful meal. Not from our food service company at MSOE.
Did you hear that orgs are not allowed to use outside food vendors anymore since ADC became the main vendor?
Yeah, I did hear that. That was interesting. Is that because of COVID or is that something that they put in their contract?
That's what they put in their contract. So far as I've heard from Mr. Foodman himself.
Because I know we have a lot of diverse global orgs who might, historically they've served food from home that they make using mom's recipe and whatever. And I worry that they might not be able to do mom justice if it's made by some third-party company.
I heard they need approval, but yesterday for sure I saw people serving home stuff.
Yeah. But even like at movie nights, you know, you can't do chips and soda unless it's served by ADC.
During the bingo event
I ran into.
I know you served like Freezy Pops during your bingo event. Did you have to go through anyone or did you get any repercussions for doing that?
That was very much an on-the-spot thing. I did not know we had Freezy Pops at our disposal. So I don't know if whoever decided to do that got expelled or what.
Rick Nicole.
Legal.
Was
that Nicole?
I think it was Sabrina.
Yeah, I wouldn't rat them out on the air, of course.
No.
With the FBI.
But if it was one of them, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. The alleged perpetrator could have been Sabrina. With the Freezy Pops.
Yeah. Potentially.
Possibly, yeah.
We wouldn't know, though. We weren't there.
I don't know if I can say that. Because I might have been hosting it, allegedly.
Allegedly, you were hosting. Doesn't mean you could see while you're hosting, though.
Yeah, I was pretty focused on running the game and not who was handing out the Freezy Pops, for sure.
Speaking, you know, something just popped into my mind when we were talking about bingo. You used to work at an old person's home, right?
A senior living community, yes.
Yes. What does that term mean, senior living community, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, there's many different meanings it can have. So this one was a community for assisted living and independent living. So for a lot of people, it was just an apartment with old neighbors, elderly neighbors. For others, they were getting some sort of treatment at this facility. So a lot of people, when they hear, you know, retirement home or old folks home, think of just like an assisted living facility with nurses and people who can't really care for themselves. But there were a lot of very nice people at this location who were living on their own and really just were living there to be with people their age, you know, maybe who, you know,
who hate the youngins.
Would enjoy that. Well, not necessarily. I mean, they do provide services. Like, there was a dining area in-house, and a lot of lovely staff who, if something was to happen to them, would be able to take care of them. So there were benefits to it. But, yeah.
When people think of the elderly, they sometimes think of the game Bingo. Did you run Bingo there?
I've never run Bingo there. No. I think I've been a food provider at a Bingo event. But yeah. And I worked there for 2 years. I don't think I really experienced much as far as Bingo there at all.
Where did you get your start as a Bingo DJ? Was it at MSOE?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know if I've really run a Bingo event before this fall.
This fall? That's pretty recent. I thought you were doing it last year as well. Not that I would know.
No, I haven't. I wasn't even involved with Sub until this fall. But I jumped in face first. I guess face first would have negative connotations, but I jumped in wholeheartedly, and I became Sub Member of the Month immediately after hosting our fall Halloween Bingo event. So,
hooray!
But before then, I ran card games in my dorm room, and Angel was also there for those. And we, on top of our card games, which happened pretty much every Friday or Saturday, we also did a tea party on the 12th floor in the middle of the winter quarter.
What type of card games did you play in your room?
Okay, well, it was primarily Uno and BS.
Ah, I see.
Yes. And John Shields also frequently attended these events while he was driving the ship. So he would leave mid-game and return.
Was that annoying, waiting for several minutes to... I know the ship was a lot more busy last year.
Actually, some nights it really wasn't. It was about, you know, I mean, it does get pretty dead some nights. And those nights are when he would join us for card games.
I'm not sure if I should disclose this information, but I'm going to anyways.
Okay.
The ship hasn't had many dispatchers recently.
I noticed that.
It's been me whenever I get scheduled, and they're for some reason scared to call me in for an unknown reason.
Would they have to pay you overtime?
They might. I think the school, from what I understand, the school can only work me 10 hours, and I work 10-hour shifts.
Yeah, that's it.
So anything over 10 hours would probably go on to overtime.
And also,
which is exactly
school policy.
Perhaps, but I have been called in for double nights.
Oh.
Actually, no. I take that back. I've only been called in weekends where I have not been working at all.
Oh, okay.
But they stopped doing that, which was very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And the ship does not pay well, so any yeah. night I take if they offer it to me.
Sure, yeah.
And it looks like it's an hour into our program. Usually we take a break here, but I think we're going to just keep going.
Okay.
Unless you want a 5-minute break to use the restroom or anything since you ate during our podcast.
No, I think I'm good. I haven't felt the urge yet.
That dreaded urge.
Well, even in this interconnected age with our portable devices, I could even continue being on the air in the restroom if I so chose to.
Yes, if you so chose to. Have you ever gone to the restroom while on a Teams call for a class or anything?
Yes, I've not contributed. I will, in a club meeting I did, they were like, all right, John, what do you think? And I was not actively dispersing my load, but I was on the throne, and I did respond.
What meeting was this? Was this RHA?
That was a super mileage team meeting.
I see. Speaking of, you brought up super mileage yesterday when we were consuming together. What exactly is it? I keep getting emails from the fluid power team. Super mileage is trying to get a vehicle to run as far as possible on as little gas as possible, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So we build a vehicle for two competitions. One, the Shell Eco Marathon. And there's another one that... So one of them's in California and the other one's in Dearborn, Michigan. I'm not entirely sure which one goes where, but I know there's two, and they have different regulations. And so we build a car, and our car uses a Briggs & Stratton engine, but we took out the carburetor, and we installed our own fuel injector system, and we have a computer controller to control these injectors, and we do a lot of embedded Arduino development to run the engine. So we've tuned our engine pretty well. We get over 1,000 miles per gallon, which is pretty good. And the body is designed to be extremely aerodynamic. So you don't sit in it like a normal car. You lie down like in a bobsleigh. And the body is made out of carbon fiber. You're lying down on it, barreling down the test track. So that's a lot of fun.
Who's your driver? And I put driver in quotes because it sounds more like they're just along for the ride rather than actually steering anything. Is this accurate?
No, they are driving. There's a steering wheel, and we have an instrument cluster and everything. They are in control. And so as good as our computers are, our driver is very critical to getting good gas mileage because we, for the best of our abilities, take advantage of the course. So you turn on your engine, go up the hill, and you switch it off. You go down the hill. And the timing of that is very important. And it could be computer controlled probably, but we haven't implemented that functionality yet. We have data logs of when our driver turned things on and off. But we would really need to, you know, be on the track and collect data to see when the best precise time would be to turn the engine on and off. And also the driver does all the steering. And they're steering the car while lying down.
and looking through a little windshield.
Is your driver short and lightweight? Are you trying to get him as your driver as aerodynamic as possible as well? Like a
horse
jockey?
Yeah, so that is a very strict thing that we need to find. So our current driver is the project manager, which is the equivalent of the club president of the club. And the club has a policy where we can only have people who are underclassmen. So no seniors, because I don't know if you've heard about like Baja and Formula Hybrid, but they're pretty much completely run by seniors. All of their stuff is like senior design projects. And so the founders of Super Mileage hated that, and they banned all seniors, which is unfortunate because last year we were sent home in the spring, and the seniors were not able to do, well, now they were juniors, now they're seniors. They weren't really able to work on the car for all that time. Now they're gone. So a lot of their work is lost. And they never got to see the car compete. In fact, we didn't compete at all in the spring last year, but we're planning on doing that now.
Is there any chance that the race might get, either of the races, I should say, might get canceled? I know for Lunar Robotics and Orgaimon, our competition down at the Kennedy Space Center just got canceled last month.
One of them, I think, was right now they're doing a virtual tech inspection of the cars. And last year it was only an inspection. So you submitted your, you know, like videos of it running and your data, your designs, and they would just judge the design of the car. And that's how the competition went. Not very interesting. This year, they've announced that they plan on doing a limited competition in Texas. And so you're going to be doing that virtual inspection again. And then if your car is approved, you can go down to Texas. So not everyone's going to compete, but the best cars will be able to compete. And so that'll be interesting. And as of now, it is supposed to be in person.
Does MSOE have a track record for having pretty good cars, or is this a rather new club? Like, Lunar Robotics, again, is fairly new.
We aren't all that new. We've been doing the gas car for a really long time. Well, I don't know really long, but at least back to the mid-2000s, and we've gained a nice sponsorship from Milwaukee Tool and other local group. So we're pretty well established, and our track record's pretty okay. I think we finished third and fifth in the last times that we've competed.
That's not bad. Who are the
main? That's not bad. And we're competing with schools that are much larger than us. I mean, every school in the United States and then eventually the world are who we're competing with.
Was this in the region you came in third and fifth, or in the country?
That was in the whole competition.
Neat. So, mm-hmm. Do you remember the schools that beat you?
I do not. I wasn't there for that. I mean, you know, I joined last winter, worked on the car for a bit. So I don't know much of the history of it.
Fair enough. Are you in any other orgs I have no idea about?
Well, I'm in the Super Mileage Club Sub Amateur Radio Club, or W9HHX. Other than that, well, I'm an RHA, you know that.
Yes.
I don't know if you would not know of any other orgs that I'm in. No. I'm not very discreet about what I do or what orgs I'm in, which others may be.
Certainly not. I'm more of a jumbled mess than you are.
Yeah.
I am in... let me think. At least four, maybe up to six.
It's all a jumbled mess. I've got to actually look and see what I'm in. And I'm an officer in a lot of these clubs, too.
I mean, I only have... It looks like I'm going to become an officer in a lot. I'm already an officer in one, as you know. But
yeah,
let's move on from the org topic briefly and actually go into talking about jobs.
Okay.
Mr. Bilkey, have you ever had a job on campus besides all your org positions?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, I'm also on the MSOE fishing team. And supposedly I'm the treasurer, but I've never received any money from them.
Does the MSOE fishing team have, like, a budget?
We have money. I don't know how much, and I'm the treasurer. But supposedly, I think we might be doing elections coming up soon and get a new treasurer.
The Bass Pro Fund.
We are sponsored by Bass Pro Shops, and all of our members get 15 to 20% off all Bass Pro products.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm completely serious.
How did that happen?
I have no idea. But we're also sponsored by Eagle Claw Hooks and Denali Rods. So we get, every club member gets $50 worth of Eagle Claw Hooks and deep discounts on Denali Rods. So it's not a bad deal at all to be in the fishing team, if you are a fisherman. Additionally, you have questions about the fishing team at all?
I kind of do. Or more specific, your fishing experience. I know we briefly talked last time about where you like to fish, but I never asked you, have you ever gone deep sea fishing before?
Oh, I have not.
Or on the ocean, or either of the oceans?
I've been to the ocean. I know I've been to the Atlantic coast. I don't know if I've really been to the Pacific to a capacity that I would remember. Of course, if I did, I was very young. Well, I have been to the Philippines, but that was when I was like a newborn child. I haven't, you know, I mean, I've looked at like chartered fishing tours and things, but deep sea fishing has not interested me so much because all of my experience is in fresh water. So I'd be a fish out of water in those situations.
Aha. Uh-huh. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
That is the funny joke. Anyways, moving on.
The funny has been found.
The funny has been found. Just like in our posters.
Yup. They are the funny.
Can you explain? I think I get the Among Us joke. But I'm not too sure. Is it just the Among Us person hiding in pictures? Is that the whole joke? Is that the entire thing behind the meme?
So, Among Us, or Amagus, or whatever, is part of it. Also, when the imposter is sus, is another meme. And these are all connected. So, it finally culminated into, I see it everywhere. The Among Us characters are hiding in plain sight. And that's like, the entire meme. It's a genius meme because it knows it's dumb and people hate it. And that's part of the meme. Oh my god, I can't believe it. I see this everywhere. I hate it so much. Make it stop. That's the meme. That's the funny.
How long do you think our posters are going to last?
The previous ones lasted a very long time, surprisingly, and I would say these ones look rather professional. So I would think that they would be up for a pretty good amount of time.
I find it hilarious that originally our plan was to move away from having myself on any type of branding that distanced myself from this, and this one just has my face on it.
Yes. Well, I know that... you might want to distance yourself from it for various reasons, but the people on campus probably are not going to be impacted by your likeness being associated with this as much as, say,
employer or something. And really, the show has become quite tame from our first episode.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, something that you can be proud of.
The first episode is something I wouldn't want seen. It's been wiped off the face of the earth.
Yes.
Out of our archives. And plus, even if it did exist, they couldn't understand it.
Yeah, the recording was very poor quality.
Second one has a little bit of sus stuff in it, but I'm speaking of the hockey.
Oh.
The violent hockey.
Hockey with guns?
Hockey with guns, but past that.
Yeah, I don't think that would be too problematic.
No.
You can see where we're coming from here with hockey with guns.
Ben one was quite insightful. So was the chat one.
Yeah.
Mitch one was actually very insightful about food. I don't know about you.
That was an enjoyable episode.
And the Jackson one was a mess.
That was an entertaining mess.
I enjoyed how you addressed the topics. So for those that just joined and didn't know this, Mr. Pilkey edits the audio and essentially the entire stream for the episodes, and he does little topic lists about what the topics in the episode are about. The topics on the Jackson one are my birthday, and I don't really know.
Yeah.
That's how much of a mess it was. And I've talked with Jackson a lot. Are you familiar with Jackson?
I am. Yes.
What he really likes to do to get people talking, and some people find it annoying. I kind of did find it annoying last week.
Oh, boy.
Was he will just start asking questions like you did on the first episode and get deeper and deeper.
Hmm.
But they'll not be obviously incorrect or not correct at all. They just won't make sense.
Yes.
Like yesterday, he was talking about, would you like to be in a plane where there are no curves? The exact question was this, if you don't mind me sharing this little tangent.
Okay.
He asked me out of nowhere, did you know if you're drawing a balloon, it's possible to make an equilateral triangle with three right angles?
Is that true? A balloon?
Yes, he said it's true because Euclid's fifth postulate states that if a straight line falling on two straight lines makes the interior angles on the same side less than two right angles, the two straight lines, if produced indefinitely, meet on that side on which are the angles less than the two right angles. He said this only holds true in normal Euclidean space where planes do not curve.
I see.
I do not quite understand all of that. I can make bits and pieces out of that. But then he followed it up with a statement, would you like to take a ride in a curving plane, Jackson? I just don't know how to answer that.
Yeah. I think I would be interested in that ride.
Well, here's the thing. The answer that I was supposed to say, as I found at dinner time, was yes, as in that next question, he wasn't talking about a plane as in the Euclidean plane. He was talking about a literal airplane, and it was a different topic. It's his mind schemery trying to get you to use what's the word when a single word has two meanings?
A double entendre.
He's trying to use double entendres to change topics when you don't realize it. And it really gets into people's head, especially mine. And the answer was, yes, I would like to take a ride in a curving plane, or else the plane would not work well and I might die.
That is true.
What, are you drinking something? I think I heard a... can, a little clink in your background.
Yeah, I am consuming a Diet Pepsi, and it is no longer, the beverage is no more.
Is it true that our food vendor serves Pepsi products, or is it Coca-Cola? I forget.
Our school?
Yes.
It serves exclusively Pepsi products, and that's a contract between the school and PepsiCo.
ADC has nothing to do with that?
No, they don't. Although they tend to market Coca-Cola chicken and Coca-Cola cake. And I don't know what legal ramifications that comes with, but I would not want to be involved in that investigation.
What is Coca-Cola cake?
That would be cake made with Coca-Cola. It, you know, honestly, it might have chocolate in it and Coca-Cola, or it could just be purely regular cake batter with no flavorings plus Coca-Cola. What I can tell you is the carbonation makes it a fluffier cake, and it does have an interesting taste to it. And typically, they'll put some sort of vanilla or cream cheese type frosting on top.
This was before our baker got pregnant and had to go on maternity leave, from what I understand.
Yeah, and they also served it at the retirement home I used to work at.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it better there or here?
I will tell you.
She isn't on leave yet? Sorry, Mr. Foodman himself has just commented.
Oh.
Oh, she's rebuilding the menu. Yeah. Interesting.
She makes fantastic desserts. There's no doubt about that.
Baby is due in June.
I will
say. Maybe we'll land on June 1st.
Wow. She's going to kill Mitch? Oh, yes. Because the food is just so good. You're right, Mitch. Those desserts are great. I will say, at the retirement home, some of the desserts were pre-made, but a lot of them were freshly made in-house, like our Coca-Cola cake. And in general, the food quality at this senior living community was incredible. Some of the greatest meals I have ever had were made here, because we had a team of professionally trained chefs who would take the recipes from our residents and faithfully recreate them. And every week, any resident could come to a meeting and present their recipe, and the chefs would make it. And they were very good at it. It was just a wonderful group of people that worked there, and they really did care about cooking good food.
Do you have any favorite stories from the resident, from the community that you used to work at?
It's been a bit of time, so I don't remember a lot of the stories. I've seen things, and I don't know if they're very good things, but I've seen them. I mean, you spend enough time around the elderly, and you learn things, and you experience some crazy stuff.
Nothing you want to disclose on air?
I don't mind disclosing it, because I'm not, you know, I'm not going to put names in, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want, like, fun, interesting stories about my coworkers, or just what I've experienced with the residents, but...
Bizarre things from old people, John. Give me the bizarrest old elderly things you can tell me.
Well, I mean, okay, so the elderly they're very interesting. They like things a peculiar way. And it's not always the same, so you might have people, like, telling you conflicting things, like, you know, your soups are too cold, when I had a glob of the soup land on my hand, and I had blisters for weeks.
And they say, wow, my soup is still cold. You know, they might be losing it a bit. So they make an order. You bring it to the table and they insist they did not order that thing. They say things that are like, whoa, not like in a bad way, but like things that you don't hear anymore. Like, oh, you're a doll. Nobody says that anymore, but they say it and it's adorable. And it's some, you know, like you're talking to people who are from like a different time period. They grew up in a different world and it's fascinating. And yeah, I mean, just the experiences that they had that shaped them were pretty crazy.
John, who's the oldest person you ever met by age? You know,
well,
that
they would probably be at that retirement home. I mean, there were people there in excess of 100 years old.
In excess?
Yeah. I think. I mean, I knew one was 97, and I know we had people that were a lot older, but
That's crazy.
You know, they don't always tell you their age.
That's insane.
But these people remember the Great Depression, and they remember, you know, they're war veterans, they're local business people who developed the village that we're living in, you know. And what's sad is, you know, sometimes they're just living here and they don't get visitors all that often. So they're just like, it's unfortunate. There's so much knowledge and history that's just alive here and nobody talks to them about it. They're just vibing, eating their dining area food, sleeping, eating, pooping. They're just living a routine, especially like the war veterans, you know, World War II veterans are getting up there in age and they're not going to last much longer. I mean, they're saying like by 2040, we won't have any more. So there's a good number of people that are going around to these facilities and interviewing people about their experiences with the war. And I think, you know, even like people who had experiences before the war, you know, in peacetime, would be interesting to hear about. But as a food server, I wasn't in a position to just interview these people all day. As much as I, you know, when I could, I did talk to them about these things. And they were very, very wise. They knew a lot of things firsthand.
Oh, it looks like we're getting a question from Angel, or at least a
comment. Yeah. And, you know, what was it? I just love talking to elderly people. After that, you know, it really changed who I am. I'm a lot more patient. I'm a lot more, you know, able to just sit around and listen to them talk. And, you know, I had Professor Ryan Mueller for Freshman Studies 1, 2, and 3. And in Freshman Studies 3, we were learning about the moon landing. And the whole time she's just reading through, like, what some text says or whatever. And just teaching a lesson, like a teacher, you know. But at the end of it, the end of class, I just ask, you know, hey, you lived through this. What was it like? Because that's what interests me. Like, of course, we all know how the moon landing works. You know, you had the eagle landing. Yeah, Angel, you're right. The last World War I veteran died in 2013. And that's unfortunate. But we have, like, video evidence now of these people talking and it's amazing that we're finally able to record this history in detail from the point of view of these people. And so while that part of history is gone, it's amazing how much of it we've been able to preserve. But to go back to what I was saying, where was I?
you were talking about... Oh, wait. Oh, my God. The moon landing. How was the moon landing, Dr. Rainmuller?
Yeah, so Professor Rainmuller was just teaching it like in a history class. And I asked her, what was it like? And she said, oh, you know, I was in my basement because that was where our TV was. And I watched it and it was incredible. The whole country was watching it. And, you know, she went through, you know, she was like with her family and it was a whole big deal. Everyone watched. And the world was watching, not just in America. I mean, we had done something that people never would have imagined. You know, I mean, who would have thought, whoa, someone's walking on the moon. And now it's nothing. I mean, we've done that so many times. So now we're going to Mars. And, you know, in no time at all, going to Mars is going to be, you know, well, yeah, we've sent all kinds of people to Mars. Big deal.
The thing is going to be how many people come back from Mars.
Yeah.
Because the people that go there aren't coming back.
Oh, yeah?
Not the first time from everything seen.
Yeah.
They're going there and
our technology, especially like when you look at the technology that they had when they went to the moon. They didn't really know if they would make it back. And they were using very low-power computers to figure out their trajectory. I mean, really, we were not ready for that technologically. We didn't know what we were doing, but we kept going, and we did it. And the odds of being successful were not very good, but we did it, and it was incredible. I mean... That was at least, I don't know, 30 years ahead of when we should have actually done it. But it was so jank, but we did it. And now, if we send people to Mars in the short future, I mean, yeah, we won't have a way to get them back. That's such a long journey to get there. And having the ability to return is like an afterthought.
Did you see
like,
the thing?
Like, we'll figure that out eventually.
But speaking of space, last time we landed on the moon was 1972. And yeah, landing on the moon would be a big deal again.
But it wouldn't be, wow, you went to the moon. Like, you don't look at the moon and think, that's so far away. Do you imagine what it would be like if you were walking the moon? Nobody looks up at the moon and thinks, well, you think, wow, the moon's nice, but it's not some impossible to reach thing where if you say, we're going to have a man on the moon, everyone thinks you're insane. You know, it's very doable, extremely doable now. It's not a technological feat for the United States to put someone on the moon. If we go back to the moon, it's something people would watch, but it wouldn't be earth-shattering.
Would Mars be that earth-shattering? Certainly. Probably would be.
I think it would be. That's, you know, there's always going to be the next big thing. And Mars is the next big thing. You know, before that, Antarctica was the big thing. Who's going to make it to Antarctica? And then, all right, well, moon. Space is the final frontier.
How do you feel about Russia claiming Venus is a Russian planet?
It is, isn't it? No, Mars is the red planet. I don't know what they're doing there. They haven't even been to Venus, so how can they claim it?
I believe it's something big. I don't know. I do not know.
I have no idea.
Why?
I will say, to continue on Angel's question, China plans to land on the moon. And do you know what year they're expecting? I think it was like between 2035 and 2040. That would be a big deal for them because that would be the first time for them. But even still, to the world, that's, you know, they're playing catch up. China's playing catch up to the world, and they're going to the moon to show that, you know, they're becoming a superpower. But they're not quite there yet technologically to 1960s America, I suppose. But I don't think it would. It's
it's never going to be as big of a deal as it was back then, unfortunately.
Unless we colonize the moon.
If you set up a moon colony, yeah, or some sort of tourism industry around that, that would be innovative. That would be cool.
We are going to steal the moon.
We are going to steal the moon. Yeah.
Should we colonize the moon, Mr. Bilkey? Should we terraform the moon?
I don't see the need for that really as is. And then you'd have countries claiming the moon. Like, yeah, we planted a flag on the moon because we were there first, but we didn't claim the moon to be the United States' property. You know, we didn't say Venus is America or something. So I think space really should be a universal thing. Like the International Space Station, we're all working together. So the moon should not be the colony of one country, but maybe like a colony of Earth, if anything. But it's just very impractical to live on the moon. At least on Mars, there might be water on Mars. There might be some sort of way to maintain life support on Mars. The moon, it's a little small. You know, it's a cool vacation spot, the low gravity and all. Nice place to spend a day or two, but living there is not practical.
How would you feel if we pumped it would have to be trillions of dollars into terraforming the moon?
That would be a very gross money pit.
What if we convinced the UN to pump trillions of dollars into the moon?
Even then, I mean, that money could be used to help people on Earth, and it would do so much more good, because the moon is a gimmick. It's a tourist area. I don't know why anyone would legitimately live on the moon. We don't even know what the effects of that would be on the body. I mean, you know, we've had astronauts up in space for like a year, maybe. But, you know, living on the moon, that could be catastrophic for your organs, especially a few generations.
Oh, it definitely would be. I mean, already going in space results in mass muscle density atrophy, from what
I
understand.
And I believe vision loss over time.
Correct. And also
macular degeneration.
The radiation is ionizing.
Yes.
The amount of ion... Russia put a rover on Venus. That's why they claim it.
Oh, they did?
According to Skeet Skeet. But okay. We put rovers on Mars. Should we claim Mars?
Does the rover have weapons? Can they defend their claim? Let's see what Skeeter and Angel say. Because part of claiming a colony is being able to defend it.
World's War One.
Venus War One. The Russian rover melted. Oh, well. Well, I don't know if they can really claim it at that point. I mean, living on Venus, I can't imagine why someone would want to do that. That would be a very hostile climate. Although it is similar in size to Earth, so the gravity would be comparable. You're a little closer to the sun, which would not be a fun time. And it might have colder nights, I assume. Or actually, no, I think it has an extremely thick atmosphere, so it's just always hot. Yeah, that's it. So. And there's a lot of sulfur in the atmosphere, too, I think. It's very acidic. So that would not be a fun time.
Mr. Bilkey, it appears that Sophia of Groman Tower found our Among Us in the Smooth Sailing poster.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, the Treaty of Tordesai each claimed half of the New World. But even that didn't work because it was the papacy that was mediating it. So only Catholic countries even cared. And then when England went formed the Church of England, they just went, nah.
Yeah.
And then Jamestown. And then...
and
actually, there was one before Jamestown, but I forget its name. Roanoke? The Lost Colony? And then Jamestown.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Something and then, like that.
Yeah, then Plymouth. Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah.
And then we had our good old U.S. of A.
Yes, sir.
After old white people got very mad at their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting very mad at taxes, Mr. Bilkey, you're the Libertarian Club president.
That is another student org I am very, very much a part of. Yeah, very active in.
I think for our last segment tonight, would you like to go into details about that org?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, fire away with the questions, I suppose.
One, you are the president, correct?
I am the president, yes.
When did the idea to form this club come to you?
Well, I've had these ideas for a long time. You know, I never really felt the need to do it, but even in like the fallish winter, I guess, around November for the election period, a group of like-minded folks with myself actually saw Joe Jorgensen speaking at Hart Park in forgot what the city's called. Wauwatosa. Yeah, I believe. So nearby, in the metro Milwaukee area, we heard her speak, and I shared that with the world and captioned it as first meeting of MSOE libertarians. And of course, that was the funny, but now it's a reality. And those people are all the club's founding officers.
Do you want to reveal who your founding officers are, or are you going to keep that a secret?
I don't know if they care or don't care. Many of them have been on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my question. It was a weirdly worded question to work around it for our general audience, but that's kind of what I wanted to figure out.
Yeah. And we're not like a group of political extremists or anything. It's a pretty chill place to be, you know, just to discuss politics. And a core belief of the Libertarian Party is free speech. So we really do want input from people from all political viewpoints, really to foster discussion. Because in an ideal country, I don't think having... you know, obviously I might believe one thing, but I don't think I'm always right or my beliefs are better than other people's. So I think a compromise is always good in most policy situations.
What other political organizations exist at MSOE besides the MSOE student government, which I hear is from Foodman himself, who is currently a senator, is quote-unquote a mess?
You know, you may call it a mess, Jackson, but I'll tell you, it's an extremely good simulation of government.
Okay, because it's so bureaucratic.
It's very bureaucratic, it's very slow, it's bloated, it doesn't work. That's the beauty of it. It's wonderful. If you want experience going into politics, it's a great place to go. And I'm not even joking. I mean, seriously, like, yeah, this is what happens. It's wonderful. And I know Mitch now. He's embracing our views. He has been convinced that government doesn't work.
He's not running for a second term.
No, he is not.
And he had a very successful first campaign.
It was wonderful. He's done so many great things as Food Man, and I know he'll continue to do that as the RHA Food Man.
I lost the first campaign, yes.
Well, it's you the lost. Ends that justify the means.
Yes, and you got what you wanted
you,
in the end.
In the end, you did succeed.
Did I ever tell you that on my resume I said, helped get my candidate, my student government candidate, the seat he wanted?
For what job? The ship driver?
No.
Or
for student, no, on my resume.
Yeah, but
because
what
was
the resume for?
No, just,
is the general one for everything?
This is just on my general resume.
Wow.
It says, helped get, as campaign manager, helped get my student government candidate the seat he wanted.
Yeah, well,
I never in that say, get him elected to be senator, because that's not what happened.
Well, you did help him, and it was a successful attempt to become a senator, eventually.
He got it, but at what price?
Yeah.
The price was being stuck in a bureaucratic organization. I remember Mitch went in, and he had so much hope that he was going to turn everything around.
Yeah.
And then he got lost in the bureaucracy of it all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mitch, if I'm making you upset, but I remember your whole thing was you're going to drain the swamp, and then you saw the swamp, and you went, nope. Mitch is an MSOE libertarian? Oh, yeah, he is.
He's the treasurer or comptroller. The official title, as far as I'm concerned, is comptroller.
I told you guys off, right?
You did. Yes. Unfortunate. Even if you're not a libertarian, we'd love to have you. But I do respect that you do not have interest in it.
What political clubs does MSOE have?
So, over the course of our history, we have had libertarian clubs. We've also had a club for college Democrats. But in right now, in this immediate time, the only political club is College Republicans, and to some extent, MSOE Right to Life. So you can see MSOE Libertarians is appealing to the other side of the aisle.
Very slightly, but yes.
Well, I would say very much so. You would be surprised. Well, we do disagree with Democrats, but I think we can agree on a lot of things. As well as Republicans, to be frank. We pick and choose from both sides.
It's just a very interesting situation at MSOE.
Yeah.
Because most colleges, there's this stereotype that many, many colleges are extremely
liberal,
Democrat, or left living.
Yes.
Liberal leaning.
And that's true.
And their statistics do back it up, but MSOE is an outlier, I would say.
Well, not necessarily. There are a lot of people with left leaning beliefs here. They just don't have a club to represent them.
Yes.
I believe that very firmly. And also, you know, I mean, there's a fair number of people here from the rural parts of Wisconsin, but really it's not as much as you probably would expect. I mean, we're in the middle of a city. A lot of people here are from Illinois. They're from the city, you know, like they're around Chicago area of Illinois. So
Mr. Hendricks says if there were a college Democrats at the school, his goal would be both to be on the e-board of both college Democrats and Republicans.
And MSOE Libertarians.
And Libertarians.
Which she has already succeeded at. So yeah, solid plan.
I mean, if he became senator, he can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, perfect. I really need to figure... I am learning so many things about my room I didn't realize until today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. This is going to sound awful and show how stupid I am, really, but I don't really mess around with my room a lot. I just kind of left it as is. I switch some things on and off occasionally. I move things around.
Okay.
I didn't know I could switch on the light. I didn't know there was a light in front of my mirror.
Oh.
I found out yesterday that you can turn your mirror light on. And then I kind of went around looking. And I also figured out there's a desk light underneath my shelves that I didn't know about.
Yeah, well, also on that light with the mirror, did you notice there's a power outlet on it?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes I am very blind and I think things like oranges are apples.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't notice switches that are very obvious.
Yes. Yes, you do need to turn
I've never used the outlet.
I think it's meant for, like, shavers and hair dryers.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Yes. Bilkey, it's 7:51. Our program is almost coming to an end. Is there anything else you would like to talk about tonight?
Well, I don't know. It's really whatever you're interested in, I'll happily answer, but... it's nothing really I want to get across.
I guess I'll end with one thing you said on our last podcast that I've been bringing up, or not really bringing up at all, but always piqued me. You made the bold, bold statement that everyone in Mage were aliens.
Okay.
What circumstantial evidence do you have to back this up?
Well, they are very interesting creatures. They are, well, so MAGE actually is an acronym that stands for, do you know what it stands for? I believe it's MSOE, Anime, N Gaming, E.
I heard it's Milwaukee Area Gaming Enthusiasts.
Anime and gaming enthusiasts, I believe. They're very interested in studying the cultures of people here. Manga, anime, gaming, maybe, Angel, you might be onto something there. But they love experiencing these cultures that are very much like cults. They're studying us. They are trying to... they're gathering here. Obviously, they don't shower. We all know this to be fact. They game, build up their skills, training animals to fight, shooting weapons, preparing for an impending war against humans to take over the planet. There's a lot going on. But all fascinating. If you study these people and their mage corner, all kinds of interesting things. You know, you'll see all. You'll see everything.
All of their studious ways.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that clarification. I think that's going to be it for tonight.
All right, sounds good.
We have had a fun time on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM, Milwaukee Spies Country. This has been Smooth Sailing. Have a good night. My interviewee was Mr. John Bilkey.
Yeah, this is true.
I.
E. What?
Crap, I'm muted! No!
It's gonna be so easy to edit until right then.
Yeah. Well, I'll just leave it how it was.
Yes, you've been out on the loose. You still feel like a haunted man. What kind of life just ain't no use. It's gonna be a long night, waiting for the first light. Sounds kills and the dog is cheap.